I think it's only fair to start this video off with a very clear warning. Do not fall for what J.D. Vance is trying to do. The Vice President of the United States has been thrown under the bus by all of the neoconservatives in the Republican Party. They have been calling J.D. Vance the architect of this deal. So now, J.D. Vance is making an intentional move to throw Israel under the bus and act like they're the ones who are elongating this war. In some ways, yes, Israel continues to escalate with Lebanon, and that is ruining any chance at a long-term ceasefire. But it is really Donald Trump and J.D. Vance who have the most agency in this situation and who control the U.S. effing military, who have been down for this war since day one. And every time J.D. Vance tries to blame somebody else or say that he was against this war, it just reminds me that he is a shapeshifter who has changed his view on certain issues, including Trump being the American Hitler, over the past decade. He was planted into American politics by Peter Thiel, who helped bankroll his first book, who helped bankroll his first Senate campaign, and who helped plant the idea into the Trump family's ear that J.D. Vance should be the vice president. It's all true. Go look it up. So we're now at a point where J.D. Vance was sent over to Pakistan about a month and a half ago to try to negotiate with the Iranians, and he came home empty-handed. The Iranians have been quite literally just dog-walking the United States, not militarily. We have a stronger military than Iran, and that's important to point out, but they have a different strategy of asymmetric warfare that is inflicting maximum damage while they just withstand it. They're not a democracy. No one's going to vote out the regime. If you appreciate these videos, and if you appreciate us walking through this in a steady-handed manner, making it all clear, it would mean a lot if you drop a like on the video below. You can also subscribe. It's completely free. We are going towards 2.5 million subscribers. Okay, let's start off with this clip of J.D. Vance claiming that Donald Trump has the highest IQ of any president. Watch.
And it's interesting that so many people, like, you know, if you give Donald Trump an IQ test with the other 45, 46 presidents that the United States has had, I guarantee he'd be either near the top or at the top. And it's interesting that
there's no way J.D. Vance actually believes this. Like, a day after this interview was recorded, we got a viral clip of Trump trying to place a Medal of Honor on a soldier and getting confused at how the clamp works, so he just ties it like an idiot. Watch. It's a new clip. It's rather quiet, but watch. He can't figure out the clamp. This is the highest IQ person in the world, by the way. And this is the highest IQ president we've ever had, according to J.D. Vance. It seems like he still cannot figure out the clamp. So watch. I mean, he's deciding to do some problem solving. It's called problem solving, liberals. So he goes, okay, I'm just going to tie this. He ties it around his neck. It's not really a medal anymore as much as it is like a choker. It's like the Medal of Dishonor, the way that Donald Trump is. This is the highest IQ person in the world, by the way. Sorry, this is just so incredibly awkward. I cannot believe. No wonder we're getting rolled in negotiations with the Iranians. No wonder the Israelis are also dragging us along. J.D. Vance then does a press conference yesterday morning in lieu of Caroline Leavitt, who must have just recently given birth, or maybe is about to give birth. I mean, I think she's early on in motherhood. So, I mean, I hope everything is healthy there. But J.D. Vance walks up on stage and gives his own version of a press conference. And about halfway into it, he starts to throw Israel under the bus. And, you know, one of the replies here says, I hate this administration, but credit where credit is due. I enjoy hearing J.D. Vance speak the truth. No. I mean, even if J.D. Vance is saying stuff that sounds good, this administration has sent billions, tens of billions of dollars in weapons to Israel, and it supported them in every step of their war against Gaza, their genocide, and the West Bank settlements. Trump has even posted AI photos and videos of Gaza being the Trump Strip. This is not some human dignity-based administration all of a sudden. J.D. Vance hasn't all of a sudden gained some huge awareness of the human dignity and the sovereignty of Palestinians. And no, he's being a shapeshifter, and he's trying to throw them under the bus because this war is not going their way.
...to completion. Now, I saw the Axios report You know, that Netanyahu is fuming. That's not reflective of the conversations that I've had with him, but maybe he's saying something to somebody else that he's not saying to me. What I will say, and this does bother me, is that you've seen people within Bibi's cabinet who have come out and attacked the deal and in some ways very personally attacked the President of the United States. And I guess my message to them would be twofold. Number one, Donald J. Trump is the only head of state in the entire world who is sympathetic to the nation of Israel at this moment in time. And he happens to be the head of state of the world superpower.
Wow, J.D. Vance coming out here with the worst PR I've ever heard. Trump is incredibly sympathetic towards Israel, maybe the most.
If I was in the cabinet of the Israeli government, I might not be attacking the only powerful ally that I have anywhere left in the entire world. And the second message I would give to some of those cabinet members, Bibi, to his credit, has not gone down this path, but to some of these cabinet members in Israel who are attacking the President of the United States, the other thing that I would say is that over the last 3 months, 2/3 of the defensive weapons that have protected your homeland have been built by American hands and paid for by American tax dollars. The problem for Israel is not Donald J. Trump. And anybody in Israel who thinks their biggest problem is the President of the United States needs to wake up and smell the reality of the situation that country is in.
Oh my God, this is like a, it's like an attempt to condemn Israel, but all wrapped in this belief that Trump and Vance are the most pro-Israel administration ever. There, he's like, we've sent you so many missiles. We've sent you so much military equipment. We've helped you so much and sent you tens of billions of dollars. You better listen to us, which is what you'd want somebody to say, but it doesn't really reflect well on the administration for getting dog walked repeatedly as this war is elongated, as any attempt at a peace deal is destroyed by Bibi Netanyahu bombing Lebanon and Hezbollah. And then Ben Gavir decides to post on his Twitter 7 hours ago, which is what J.D. Vance was referring to. He says, "For every tear of an Israeli mother, 1,000 Lebanese mothers must weep. All of Lebanon must burn. With all due respect to the Americans," so here's Ben Gavir. So that's basically a jab at the Trump administration, a direct jab at this memorandum of understanding that has already fallen apart. It says, "With all due respect to the Americans, Israel must make it clear to the entire world that the blood of our sons and the security of our citizens are not forfeit. All of Lebanon must burn. Our supreme duty is to protect the citizens of Israel and the soldiers of the IDF." He says, "I told the prime minister, even in our private meetings, for every tear of an Israeli mother, 1,000 Lebanese mothers must weep." So J.D. Vance and Trump don't really know what they're in for. And then Randy Fine, a representative who is very bigoted towards every single group on the planet, but then is very offended whenever somebody is bigoted towards his group, which, by the way, nobody should be bigoted towards anybody. But you can't be like, yeah, I hate black people, I hate transgender people, I hate gay people, I especially hate Muslims, but you can't hate on Jewish people. When you allow people like Nick Fuentes into your coalition because they hate others, then eventually they're going to turn their ire onto you. But I say this all because Randy Fine is now coming out and saying that J.D. Vance is not sufficiently pro-Israel.
J.D. Vance from the podium yesterday, chastising critics of this deal coming from Israel, that was pretty unprecedented by J.D. Vance. I'm surprised he went that far.
Yeah, look, I thought J.D.'s comments yesterday were absolutely inappropriate and frankly disgusting. The state of Israel was not created by the United States. It is not funded by the United States, except in some small way. It was created in the blood and sweat and tears of the Jewish people arising out of the Holocaust. The United States didn't support Israel during its formation. In fact, there were times when it put arms embargoes in place. And J.D. Vance would be wise to go back and learn his history. I think his comments today were completely out of line.
Damn. J.D. Vance didn't even say anything that wild. He kind of just laid out how pro-Israel this administration is and how we send them a bunch of equipment and money. And Randy Fine was still incredibly, incredibly offended. Here is J.D. Vance then straight up lying and saying the nuclear weapons program is destroyed. It is gone. You know, I'm going to bookmark this. You know, drop a like on this video and make sure you leave a comment because we're going to bookmark this exact moment. And I can almost guarantee in 2 years, this administration is going to be singing a different tune about having to restart a war against their military program. Or sorry, nuclear program.
The nuclear weapons program is destroyed. It is gone. If the Iranians decided tomorrow to build a nuclear weapon, they simply don't have the capacity in order to do that. What we're trying to ensure is they don't rebuild that capacity, not just a year from now, 2 years from now, but many, many years from now, so that our children never have to worry about a state sponsor of terrorism having a nuclear weapon. The nuclear weapons program is destroyed. It is gone.
Let's bookmark this, because about 10 months ago, they said that it was obliterated. That's the word that they used. The reality is the blueprints in order to rebuild these facilities still exist within Iran. The Iranian scientists that built the facilities have scattered across the country, and many of them are still alive, just waiting to rebuild the facilities. And if we don't get any sort of long-term deal, then all of the worst fears of this administration will be realized, and it seems like that's the point that we're headed to. Here's J.D. Vance comparing his deal to the Obama deal in a rather sloppy way. I'll break down why this is all wrong on the other side.
Sovereignty is respected by all parties. And the difference between the two agreements. So first of all, the two big differences are not even in the substance of the deal itself, but something I said earlier are, number one, the Gulf Coast Coalition loves this deal because they think that it makes Iran weaker. They hated the Obama deal because they thought that it made Iran stronger.
That is not what J.D. Vance said in his interview the other day. And the other day he said, the Iranians love the deal that the Trump admin cut, and they hated the deal that the Obama administration cut. And he was trying to use that as some sort of victory lap when he doesn't realize that the Iranians love the deal the Trump administration cut because it's good for them.
They know more
and bad for us
about this, and they have more to lose than anybody, including the United States of America, so I trust their judgment. The second thing is where the deal came from. You have to remember, in 2015, Iran had built a sophisticated nuclear weapons program with a nuclear weapons stockpile.
Can I also point out, the Gulf countries don't love this deal. This entire deal rests on a fantasy that all of our allies in the Gulf are going to pull money out of their sovereign wealth funds and then hand it to the same exact regime that was firing missiles at them 6 weeks ago. Money that every single one of these countries knows, whether it's the Emirates, whether it's Saudi Arabia, whether it's Qatar that we're leaning on and pressuring. Every one of these countries knows that any money they give to Iran will never be seen again. So we now have to pressure these countries to give a $300 billion restitution fund because these countries fired back at Iran after we started a war. It's all so incoherent.
So the perspective that we came at as the United States was, you already have a really nice nuclear program. We're going to bribe you with American money in order to stop it. Our perspective and where we're coming at it is, we already destroyed your nuclear program. And so if you promise and show verifiable pathways to not rebuild it, then we're willing to give you some sanctions relief and things like that. So it's a
That's basically what the Obama deal was. It was oversight, not just from us, but from a bunch of countries in the region at any moment, all the time, to make sure the Iranians were limited in their enrichment. We also had long-term strategies, and we unfroze like $1.7 billion compared to the $300 billion that Iran is currently asking for and likely going to receive.
Fundamentally different perspective. Now, there are all these substantive differences as well. The Obama nuclear deal allowed enrichment. Ours will not. The Obama deal allowed the accumulation of stockpiled weapons-grade material. Ours is actually leading to the destruction of that stockpile of enriched material. So there are many differences. The Obama deal gave them over $1 billion of American money.
It did not. It was unfrozen money. To continue right here, he gets asked, what's stopping Iran from down the road just rebuilding and restarting their nuclear program? And he gives about the worst answer ever. He says they would need a lot of money in order to rebuild that program, while not realizing, or maybe he realizes and doesn't care, that we are giving them, not directly, but we are putting pressure on countries to give them $300 billion.
Saying that you're hoping this deal would prevent Iran in the future from getting a nuclear weapon. But from what's been put out there of the MOU, I'm curious, how does the MOU reflect that in the future Iran will not, in fact, get a nuclear weapon? What's stopping them from down the road, to your point, rebuilding and restarting from where we were pre the war?
Well, number one, they would have to get a lot of money in order to rebuild their nuclear program. You're talking about billions and billions of nuclear infrastructure that the United States destroyed. In order for them to rebuild
Oh, billions and billions.
Program, they would have to get a lot of money.
A lot of money? That is exactly what they are about to get. I'm going to leave it there. This administration is broken and is breaking the rest of us. People voted them in. A lot of, you know, young people or people who are apathetic voted them in because this administration promised to drain the swamp, but they have become the swamp. They have rewired these institutions to benefit themselves, their donors, and to go to war for the neocons. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate this, drop a like, subscribe. I love you all. Peace out.